Hey, Inbound Raleigh listeners. My name is John Carter, host of the 919 Podcast, the only show all about the over 1.5 million people transforming the Triangle. I interview interesting people from Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, and beyond as they share their stories about how they are making the 919 area code a better place. Each week, you'll hear from business owners, politicians, and leaders in our community as they talk about the exciting things they're up to. You can find the 919 Podcast on social media and on iTunes or Spotify. That's the 919 Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast for the transit curious in the Triangle. If you're out there trying to figure out how transit and transportation work in Raleigh and in the Triangle, you've probably heard of CAMPO. That's C-A-M-P-O. But if you're like me, you might be a little bit confused about what they do compared with maybe Go Raleigh and the NCDOT and some other groups and maybe how this all fits together. So today I'm joined by Shelby Powell. She's Deputy Director of CAMPO, and hopefully she can paint us a little picture of how this process of transportation planning works. Welcome, Shelby.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's start with some basics. Can you just short summary of what is CAMPO?
So CAMPO is an acronym for the Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. MPO for short. There are 19 MPOs in North Carolina, and we're the one that's based here in Raleigh. We also have a sister MPO based in Durham, the DCHC MPO that you may have heard of as well. So an MPO is a federally created entity that is meant to coordinate transportation planning efforts amongst local governments in urbanized areas. So as long as there's a dense urban center and an urbanized area as defined by the census, there's an MPO in place.
Okay. So you said it's federally created. Is that federal funding then, or does your money come from other sources?
Both. We have 80% of our money comes from federal sources, planning funds from the federal government, and that's matched at 20% by our local government members.
Okay.
So they all pay a per capita amount each year to keep us running.
Okay. And so how does CAMPO fit into the big picture with Go Raleigh, Go Cary, Go Durham, and Go Triangle?
So all of those are transit agencies, and they're partners with us. We obviously go beyond transit. We're interested in all modes, highway, bicycle, pedestrian, and also transit has been a big one here lately, especially. Those are all of our partners. We're a consortium of local government agencies. We all get together once a month and make transportation planning decisions, funding and programming decisions. So we all kind of work together as a big team in the background of all the transportation projects you see happening.
Okay. I mean, is there an organizational charts, or you know, the umbrella? Is that an okay way to put it?
Yeah, we are an umbrella organization. So they're all members of us. The local governments that are in our census-defined area kind of have to be members of us, and we also have members around the fringe of our urbanized area. We're not just in Wake County. We're also in the four surrounding counties, about half of each of those counties, or maybe a third of Johnston County, but Franklin, Granville, and Harnett also. So we have a ton of members that all get together and work collectively to do transportation planning to make sure we're all on the same page with priorities and projects and moving things forward.
So is it a similar relationship with the NCDOT then, kind of partner, as you call it?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're one of our main partners. We work very closely with NCDOT, kind of act as a liaison between our local government members and the state DOT to make sure the priorities are being recognized and funded and moving forward in an appropriate fashion.
Okay. So the CAMPO website lists the TPAC, got to keep up with all the acronyms. This is the Wake County Transit Planning Committee, and they're part of the organization?
They're housed at our organization.
Okay.
They're a little bit separate, but we do staff them. The TPAC was created through the governance agreement for the Wake County Transit Tax Referendum.
Okay.
The tax referendum passed, as you know, the sales tax and the funding that's now implementing Wake Transit, the Wake Transit Plan. And part of that was to have a group of local governments. It's very similar to how CAMPO works, and it's a lot of the same members, but since it's just Wake County confined, it's not all of our members.
Okay.
So they do review all things Wake Transit. They act as the technical review committee for Wake Transit implementation elements, and they make recommendations to both CAMPO and the Go Triangle Board of Trustees. And those two boards are kind of a bicameral approval authority board for funding anything with Wake Transit.
Okay. And then there's the Technical Coordinating Committee, which provides technical recommendations, it said, but I guess I'd love to know what that means. Can you offer some examples?
Sure. So almost anything that goes before our executive board goes before our Technical Coordinating Committee, or TCC, first. The TCC is comprised of planners and engineers from all of our member jurisdictions, from NCDOT, from NC State, from just a host of agencies around that have some interest or knowledge that they can contribute to mostly everything we do. Whenever we're doing a planning study, we have several sub-area studies, or we do specific corridor-level studies. We'll have TCC review the recommendations coming out of that, review the inputs going into it, just act as kind of a technical sounding board. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so these various committees, they report to the executive board.
Yes.
And then the executive board, with help from staff, they carry out various plans for transit and transportation?
That's right. They're our policymaking board.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how many members are on the executive board?
So we have 27 members. 24 of those are local government members, so cities and counties. The members are all from the governing boards of those agencies. So the municipalities usually send their mayor or maybe a longtime serving council member. The counties send a county commissioner. Mm-hmm. And then we have three board members from NCDOT that are from divisions 4, 5, and 6 of NCDOT, because we have parts of each of those divisions in our MPO area.
Okay. And so they serve a specific term, or?
Not really. We ask them to be appointed or reappointed every year, so we check in with our members every January. Several of our members have been on for just years and years because they've been on their boards a long time and have been very active in the transportation community and just get it. And so they are reappointed time after time. But as you know, with elections, things can change, boards can change, and so new appointments may be made, but we don't have term limits on the board.
Okay. So the website also lists LAPP, LAP, or locally administered projects, and CAMPO oversees those, right. If that's the right word, oversees. It seems like, so these are federal funds, and they're channeled through CAMPO and then dispersed. Am I explaining this correctly?
Yes. Okay. So our LAP program is funded with federal funds, and again, the projects are matched with local funds. So pretty much the local governments always have to pay into getting some federal money on their projects. There's okay. almost always a 20% match on those funds. So for the LAP program, that's funded with our Surface Transportation Block Grant funding. That's funding that goes to larger MPOs. I mentioned there's 19 MPOs in North Carolina. I think 7 of those are what are called transportation management areas, which are greater than 250,000 people. And so that's in the federal regs that create MPOs. If you're a transportation management area, or a TMA, another acronym, if you're a TMA, then you get a direct slice of funds from the federal government to kind of supplement your state funds that are being spent on transportation. So those are the funds that we use for our LAP program. That's the main source of funding. We also have a couple other flavors of federal funding that go into that program. CMAQ, which is Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Funding, Transportation Alternatives Funding, which is TAP, the alphabet soup of funding sources go into that program. So, we have a competitive process. Our member governments apply. We rank projects. We always get more projects than we can fund submitted into that program, because obviously there's a high transportation need around here. And then we program those projects. And actually, I think later this week or next week, we have a training for all the people that were awarded funds so they can come and learn how to deliver a federal project.
Okay. So is that why CAMPO's part of the process? Some of the projects, because they're local, I'm thinking, Capitol Boulevard Bridges, for example, well, can't Raleigh or the DOT handle something like that?
They can. And actually on the Capitol Bridges, the DOT is handling that. But Raleigh applied for some of our funding to supplement it, to have some things as part of that project that would not typically be a part of a DOT-run project.
Okay.
So the way the ramps are coming off the Capitol Boulevard bridges, mm-hmm. Especially at Peace Street, would have been done a different way if Raleigh did not receive this extra federal funding to kind of redesign those in a more urban format.
Okay. Interesting. Speaking of acronyms, I love that CAMPO has a page on its website just to define all the acronyms. So thank you to whomever decided that was necessary, because I thought it was very helpful.
Yeah, our members ask for that all the time.
I'm sure they do. If you're new to it, you're just like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
So can you tell us about the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan?
Yes. So that's the main thing the MPO is charged with keeping up. That's our long-range transportation plan. We update it every 4 years. And every time we update it, it goes out another 5 years. So our last plan was the 2040 plan. The one we just adopted last year is our 2045 plan. And we're already working right now on our 2050 plan. So what that plan is a long-range vision set in three horizon year kind of buckets of projects that explain to the federal government what we're planning on spending our transportation funds on in the next, 30 years.
Okay.
So the things that are in the first 10 years are pretty well set. That's our 2025 projects. Those are things that are moving forward either with our federal funding or with state funding or sometimes local funding in the cases of things being done by developers or something. Or just, a municipality. Some of Raleigh's bond projects, for instance, would be on that list as well. And then the next decade is a little more tentative in the third decade, 2045. While we're still planning on moving all those projects forward, they need to move up into the 2025 horizon year to become kind of quote-unquote real projects.
Okay.
And then we have an element after that, which is our comprehensive element of the MTP, and that is things that we're also planning for, but we can't show that we are able to fund those yet. So all the things through 2045, we have a financial forecast model that tells us we're going to get enough money to be able to fund those things by 2045.
Okay.
So that's what the MTP is. And it's not just roadway projects. It's all modes. We have transit in there. The Wake Transit Plan is kind of the first 10 years of the MTP. And then on the MTP, you'll see transit projects beyond what's on the Wake Transit Plan.
Okay. And so does somebody with the federal government have to approve that, or that's just, we're just telling you guys, hey, this is what we're up to?
Yeah, we work closely with FHWA and the state DOT to make sure that also part of that is air quality conformity. Mm-hmm. We have to prove that we're not making our air quality worse by implementing all of these projects. So making sure we're alleviating congestion spots so that, the more traffic is flowing, the less cars are sitting there and spewing fumes from the pipes, and bicycle and pedestrian accommodations that will help a transportation purpose, not just like recreational trail loops, but actual like on-road paths that people can use for bicycle commuting, for instance. Those show that we're making an effort to get people out of their cars and helping the air quality that way. So that's a part of that plan as well.
And, are there many of those projects in the works?
Oh, yeah. there's a lot. You can see our again, it goes out to 2045. And our LAP program helps local governments fund a lot of those things. There's not a lot of state funding right now for just standalone bicycle and pedestrian projects. So our LAP program is really heavily involved in implementing a lot of those alternative mode projects.
Okay. Another thing you guys are working on is the Triangle Tolling Study. So can you tell us more about that?
Sure. That's underway right now. It's really a technical study. We're not planning on going out and tolling every road in the Triangle by any means. The reason you would toll a road is to maintain sort of, I don't want to say free flow traffic, but maintain a dependable travel time on the road. You've heard of other larger cities that may have like congestion pricing. I don't know if that's something you're familiar with, but the more crowded a road gets, the more it's going to cost you to drive on it in an effort to weed out people who, don't want to pay for that travel time reliability. So we're just doing a technical assessment on what that might look like in some of the roads in our region that are used for commuting. And there's a lot of people that travel through the Triangle. I mean, I-40 goes through here. Mm-hmm. So a lot of non-Triangle residents are using our facilities as well. So looking at what returns we might get on that financially and how that might look on several of our facilities is really what we're after with that study.
Okay. And studies generally show that that does deter at least some people, so maybe there's less congestion at those peak hours. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's the crux of it, I think. you find that there's always forecasts for how many people are going to use a road. And, you know, sometimes those forecasts are high and sometimes they're low. So sometimes people will drive on 540, you know, the already tolled facility. Mm-hmm. We had the first toll facility in the state here on 540, and sometimes people drive on it. Oh, there's nobody on this road. Well, you go drive out there at rush hour, and there's lots of people that are choosing to use that road rather than regular 40 to get through.
So what else is Campo out there doing that maybe a lot of us don't realize and you think should be highlighted?
Well, our main purpose of our organization is long-range transportation planning, so we always have lots of studies underway. We do a series of what we call our area studies that go into our big MTP. So our big MTP is done jointly with the Durham-Chapel Hill-Carborough MPO, so that's just a gigantic area. It's hard for people to wrap their minds around that big of an area that far in the future. It's hard to make people care about that. So what we do is a series of kind of sub-area studies and some corridor-level studies that are always underway that go into informing our next MTP. So we come out with recommendations. Right now we're doing what's called the Southwest Area Study, which is in the southwestern part of our planning area, northern Harnett County, and then kind of the apex down to Fuquay through Holly Springs Arc. We're taking a close look at projects there, at what our forecasts are looking like, and what needs to be recommended down there as far as road improvements. And then when we get to the update of our MTP, we will look at which of those recommendations we can legitimately plan on funding. So it's really just kind of a deep dive into that area. After that one's finished, we'll update our Northeast Area Study, which is kind of that Wake Forest all the way around to Zebulon Wendell area, slice of our planning area. So we're kind of continually doing those area studies. And then we recently did a study of Main Street in Rollsville. The Rollsville bypass was just built. Their Main Street had a lot of traffic that was alleviated from that corridor. So they were able to spend some time kind of re-envisioning what that might look like. And I think they're planning on putting some things in for consideration for our LAP program to implement some of those recommendations. So basically, that's what we're doing all over the region all the time.
Okay. Sounds like you guys are pretty busy.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to learn more about what you guys do, your studies, your programs, how should they stay in the loop? Just the website or other?
Yeah, the website is a good place. We work hard to keep that updated with up-to-date information. A lot of our studies, like the Southwest Area Study that I mentioned, will have independent websites that can be linked, I think, through our regular website or just found on their own. We also have Twitter, and we're on the Facebook and Instagram.
Do you guys have a newsletter?
We don't have a regular newsletter. Our work is so cyclical, it's kind of hard to commit to coming out with like a monthly newsletter, because some months it might just be all the same stuff from last month is still happening. So we're kind of trying to get a handle on that. Bonnie Parker, our public engagement planner, is working towards some kind of regular update. She just did one after our board meets every month. And they make decisions that are affecting transportation projects and programs. So just making an effort to let people know what's happening at those meetings and what decisions have been made.
I'd read it.
Oh, good.
So you can tell her that.
And there's on our website, there's a place where you can sign up right on the front page if you want to be added to the mailing list and get things like that when we do produce them.
Okay, great. Is there anything I haven't asked you that you wanted to add or mention?
I don't think so. People tend to kind of shy away from this long-range planning business. It's, like I said, it's overwhelming. To think about what might happen 40 years in the future, you know, oh, we're going to have flying cars, but we might not have flying cars, and we might need to figure out what we're going to do with our roads. So I would just encourage people to stay involved. A lot of the projects that you see, you know, people tend to get more involved when they see that a project is actually starting. Well, that project starts way before you can see it starting. And it starts in things like our MTP and like the Southwest Area Study. And that's where these ideas come up and are vetted and put through an analysis of different alternatives for those projects. And then by the time they're actually starting, a whole lot of work has already gone into thinking about them. So getting and staying involved in things on the front end of things, I think, is important. And hopefully people will recognize that.
I think some do, but it can be challenging to keep up with government sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Especially, yeah, and we're a regional agency, so we work a lot through our member governments to try to support what they're doing locally as far as engaging the public and keeping everybody informed about, you know, what's going on. And I think by breaking things up into smaller areas, we're able to be a little bit more successful than we are with just, hey, we're planning for the entire 7-county region for the next 40 years. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a tough question to get input on.
Right,
for sure.
Right. We get all kinds of comments on that.
And I think your executive board member meeting schedule is on the website, too, in case people are interested in attending.
Yeah, right? It's every third Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay. Well, thank you for explaining how all this works. I'm going to link to some of the things that we talked about in this episode and a few more notes. You can find that on our website. That's inboundraleigh.com. And you can always share your ideas for topics that we need to cover, your thoughts about this episode. Please email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time. Scheiße, wo ist mein Theater?